The Crash Course Live is presented by Smash It Demolition Derby
and the 2016 Basher Cast.
Demo Derby Masters.
Winter Slam 2016. Ultimate Derby and Blizzard Bash in Capital City Carnage.
Sciopa Racing and SciopaRacing.com.
Reckless Abandon Derby Apparel at RecklessAbandonGear.com. And Derby Inc. Magazine. Live it, breathe it, be it, Derby Inc. This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now your host, Chris Marquardt.
Good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to the Crash Course, episode number 119. On deck, Brian joining us here in the studio along with Ben. Ben, how'd your day go today?
Just peachy.
Yeah?
Nice restful day.
Day ever?
Huh?
Best day ever?
And I wouldn't say the best day.
No?
It was quiet.
It was an early start. It was an early start to today. Getting home, spent a roughly, I think we ended up encountering a total of about 10 hours in delays getting home from Winter Slam through the course of the day. Leaving Minnesota, we didn't encounter too much of an issue. It was getting into Chicago that was the problem, and then we stayed in Chicago for a lot longer than I'm interested in staying in Chicago again.
Unless it's for a football game.
We
were there long enough to see like two football games.
I know.
Unfortunately, all we saw was the inside of O'Hare Airport and only a little bit of that.
5 hours of it was spent inside an aluminum tube.
Yeah.
We are quite versed now in how to rescue oneself in the event the oxygen needs to begin flowing from overhead. But
the question is, though, is there's does three drop down, or do we have to fight for one per row?
I don't know. We never really.
It all depends on budget cuts with the airline.
That's true.
Perfect.
It starts out with three, and then
go from there.
Yeah, by the last plane, you might have one.
But we know in the future if there's a delay, all I have to do is ask to go to the cockpit, and we're going to take off. Because strangely enough, this very nice flight attendant was on the plane, and we had a nice little conversation with her earlier, and I said, "Ma'am, would it be possible for me to look in the cockpit?" And she said, "Come on up here with me.
I'm not a terrorist or nothing."
Yeah.
"Come up here with me." We walked right to the front, and we no sooner got there, and they said, "Ma'am," or they said, "Prepare to board," and I turned around and ran back to the seat. It was like, "All right, let's go."
And it was still another hour and a half.
And it was still a little while longer, but we eventually got up, and it was cool. We had a good time, except for bouncing on the one landing and sliding on another.
That was killer.
That's a good word for
that
it.
That was killer. I loved it. Then we had a little airdrop. A little airdrop turbulence. I mean, I used to hate flying, but I'm starting to get a kick out of it.
With the craziness is starting
I'm living on the edge, yeah.
Well, it was funny because Chris, hard to believe, had fallen asleep. Melissa had woken up. We're kind of talking back and forth, and she goes, "Boy, this is a little bumpy." I said, "It's not too bad." I said, "Because when it's bad, they'll put on the sign and tell you to put your seatbelt on." 30 seconds later, clang, on goes the sign. They're like, "We're going to be experiencing turbulence most of the way." And she looked at me, and I'm like, "Now it's going to get bumpy."
I didn't put my seatbelt on. I should say I had it on once when the seatbelt ninja came down through.
Yeah.
But other than that,
I'm doing all right.
We're riding free. We're having a good time.
Well, we were flying out when we went from Syracuse to Chicago on that's what I meant. On the way out, Ben and I were sitting next to each other, and Chris and Melissa were behind us, and they had fallen asleep. And Ben and I are talking, and all of a sudden, I look out the window, and here's this black plane going really fast.
That was badass.
Past us. Yeah. I'm like, "Ben, look!" And neither one of us had got our phones out quick enough, and it had to be some sort of military airplane, but that thing was moving.
It was moving going the other way, and
Black.
Chris wakes up. Chris is pretty, he's tentative in a plane, so we can mess with him pretty good.
Yes, we do.
I said, "Chris, we had a near miss." "What? What are you talking about?" "What?" "An airplane flew by." "Yeah, okay. Yeah. No, serious, we did."
And at one point, when we went from Chicago to Minneapolis, we took off, and all of a sudden, all of a sudden, it looked like the moon was right outside the window. So it was a pretty cool flight. I mean, we hadn't flown someplace at night before like that. And
nor in the morning.
I got a pretty cool picture of Chicago as we were coming in, or Ben did actually, and shared it with me and sent home to the family, and I put it up on Facebook. But it was pretty cool.
Well, I mean, all in all, Winter Slam presented by Napa was a great time. Everybody enjoyed it. I think that there was probably as many, if not more, people there this year.
More.
I mean, it was unbelievable. And what did the official high end up being that day? Was it 8?
I don't think it got that high.
No.
Yeah, I think it was probably around between 6 and 8. But, I mean.
Well, that number's a lie.
But the actual feel was...
Yeah, the feel all day was...
Yeah. If you were a container ship, yeah, between 6 and 8. But a human being, it felt like probably negative 10.
But I didn't... There
it was nice out.
There was a little bit of a breeze, but it wasn't super bad. Once in a while, it'd pick up. But
perfect. You could definitely tell the natives.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there were some ladleheads there wearing freaking sweatshirts and sneakers and no jackets. And
yeah. Jerry Ertman was part polar bear.
Yeah.
He was in a hoodie most of the day.
Yeah.
Yep. Nuts.
Yeah.
Yep. Nuts.
But with, I mean, you know, running, a, you know, being a, one of the promoters for a show like that, I mean... something like that, the last thing on your mind is the weather, and it's not snowing, the track is good, so I'm sure he was...
If my balls are chattering, I'm putting a coat on. That's point blank. That's the whole deal.
We discussed stuff like that at one point throughout our trip to and fro, but it was definitely an awesome show. Very fast track. Guys were doing a great job driving. A lot of people with heavy right foots.
I just had a discrepancy in the whole schedule of the venue.
Yeah, Ben definitely.
I vocalized that to Randy, and he just kind of chuckled. But
what do you mean?
The schedule, I wanted the wild cars to run first, the trucks to run second, and then the cars, wire cars, and then
compacts.
Well, joining us online right now is the 80s chain class winner, Stacy Flynn. Man, you had an awesome run. I think that everybody enjoyed the fact that you guys weren't done hitting after I think it was John Kluver that was up on the wall, and he was ultimately timed out. But you backed up, and instead of blasting away at him up there, you tried to nudge him off so that you guys could keep going at it. That was pretty interesting.
Well, that's what you got to do. I mean, I try to keep the sport fun, entertaining, and we wanted to finish it the right way. If it come down to anybody that I knew, man, we want to back up the track runs until it's done. Fans want to see, and that's what they need to see.
Right. Well, you guys offered all of that. That was I think you had 28 cars out there, and it lasted roughly 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yep, that's correct. It was a fun, fast track, best track we've ever had at Slam. Obviously, last year I kind of made it for that one because that was really soft, but we like running on fast dry tracks, and you talk to most of the drivers, they're going to be the same way. We've been doing this for 20-some years, some of us have. It's just a lot of fun to do this.
Well, we've been following Stacy since we started going out there in the 007 cars. He carried the in-car camera for us the first year that we came out, and he had a real good run there, but it was that same style of wide-open driving that proved to be the undoing. I think he ended up third or something in that run, but turn around, how meaningful is it to pick up the win in this class?
Well, whenever you get a win, it's always nice, but it's not about the money to me. It's about the trophies. I know my family's tired of the trophies I got in the house. to me, that's what it's about. You're never going to get rich on this, if you win one show. But, the first year when I did the in-car camera for you guys, I just bought a motor from somebody else that's supposed to run good. And it did for a while, but not like I got right now. This is probably the best one I've got out here.
Mm-hmm. What motor have you got now?
355 full solid roller. But to me, that's the only way of going.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I know some other folks up that way that are starting to pick up 355s.
Yeah. There's a couple of them then.
Definitely.
It's hard to compete, The LSs are really nice, but they're so finicky, and you can't beat a good old 355.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
Yep.
I mean, sometimes, you can – the LSs definitely, have more horsepower and stuff, but they're not – as bulletproof as the proven, like a 350 or 355. I mean, it's, there's definitely the, that's like
the better is a Magnum.
Yeah. It's definitely like the go-to Chevy Derby motor, obviously the 350 and, the guys, turn them into 355s, but it was, I thought you guys overall, I think the 80s class was the best heat of the day. It's a tight close between them and the trucks, but you guys all did a great job. All drove hard, all put on just an awesome show. I mean, we've touched on it again how much we enjoy going up there because of the way you guys, drive and put on the show. But I think it's touch and go. But I think 80s was overall the best heat of the day in my humble opinion. Not dissing anybody else, but for overall, I think the 80s was probably the best show.
And
constant action.
Yeah.
It was virtually impossible to tape.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
you agree with that. Some guy was talking about you guys get to see what's directly in front of you, and sometimes on the other side, let smoke. Can't see the other guys that are hit.
Yeah,
love to see a video from the other side too.
Yeah,
just for the guys that don't like to be in front of the cameras like me. I'm not that kind of guy.
Yeah, I don't know.
Action on the other side.
You didn't do a whole lot of hiding in the corner though.
No, you definitely
you
weren't
pretty front and center for everybody to know the black and yellow car was there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't like the hiding corners. That's not my game. That's not my style. Like I said, I knew over half these people on the track here. You know, I know there's a lot of well-built cars out here. Some of the guys, yeah, are kind of first-time guys, you could call them, novice builders. But this is the way we used to build our old iron, you know, not even 5 to 7 years ago. And this is the way I like doing it. Yeah, typically I'm an old iron guy, and I probably should get back up into that a little more. But, you know, this out here is just so much fun. It takes all the stress out of it. You just go and have fun.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely, it looks like a really fun class. I mean, you know.
You get a trailer one out?
No. No. I know some guys have trailered them out, Bando and Jesse Keel, and that's just crazy. But I like the idea of being 4 hours in the air, in theory, as opposed to driving 20. But it definitely a great class to run. I mean, they put on a great show, and, it's, you know, I like the build. So it was a good show.
Was it Kluver, or was it?
Perfect drag. I talked to some people afterward at the, you know, demo party and stuff, and the one in particular, Gail was driving, and I probably hit her a little harder than I probably should have, because I relocated her cage 4 inches from where it originally started.
Wow. Whoa.
But,
well,
you know, you get my attention. That's, you know, it's going to happen. It's Gail on the track. I don't try to show any favoritism, whether it's
exactly.
My best friend or if it's somebody I don't know.
Do you actually take a second for it to process and register who you're about to hit, or is it just like Dan Bolton's talked about this before? His eyes roll back, and whatever's in front of him, he just blisters it.
We've seen
which
that.
Is 100% true. Yeah, I mean, with him, I mean, I agree with him.
Let's Stacy real quick.
It don't make a difference. Yeah. Like I say, if it's even my son-in-law that builds cars out here, and he ran up there, if I'd have seen him in the way, I was going to hit him. He knew it. Then that's just what we expect, you know.
Right.
We've got tracks out here, and we'll go out here, and we'll get as close as we can without physically hurting a car, so we save it just for the track.
Wow.
Nice. Yeah. Huh.
But you were saying?
No, I agree with him. I mean, you're there for a reason, you know.
Right.
It's not to, oh, I know that person, I'm going to drive around them. Bullshit. You know, everybody's on the track, direct their cars, have a good time, you know, and same thing with girls. I mean, women drivers, I'm here to tell you right now, I know a few women drivers. You pass up a shot on them, you better have eyes in the back of your head because they're going to come knock you out of your seat.
Well, we started out with one, Betty Benjamin.
Yeah. So,
I'm telling
I
you
mean,
what.
So
she would knock you out of your seat.
So
Klinger's girlfriend.
Yeah.
Tiffany Hahn.
Tiffany is she's a terrific derby driver.
Serena Brand?
Yeah. Yep. Tiffany, I mean, so, Tiffany.
Cindy Regenbald?
Yeah.
So anybody.
Eileen Mann?
Basically anybody that gets in a car and drives out on that track, I mean, just they're the same. They're equals, really. So
yeah, you have to treat them as that.
Yep.
I mean, you know, I understand that some are going to wreck more stuff than me, because I know when I had gals driving my cars before there was more women in this, they were powder puffs. And the gals were wrecking more of my stuff than I was myself. I mean, they're no different than anybody else, you know. Mm-hmm. If they're willing to hit you, light you up, you get my attention, you know, it is what it is, right?
Yep, no doubt.
It is what it is. It's Ben's line.
It is what it is.
Mm-hmm. What? Tell us a little bit about the car. I mean, was that? It seemed like that was a pretty clean piece.
Yeah, it was a 77 two-door Caddy. I picked it up in Blizzard Bash from a guy down there. I really liked them, the Caddies, the way they hold up. This is my third year in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Did a little change in setup from last year. Of course, last year I broke my own axle. I broke it on the inside. And, you know, that's my own fault, driver error. But, you know, that's part of this class, too. You know, you're going to have whatever motor you want, but that motor will bring that front end up really quick if you ain't careful.
No, mm-hmm. No doubt.
Sure.
No doubt.
And I was hoping to try and get Kluver off that wall, you know, because I thought everybody wanted to see it finish the right way. He ain't going to lift, and I know I ain't going to lift. It would have been fun to put him in the air. But, you know, you look at the Jeremy Kish, he had a really tough car up there, too, and I knew he was a guy that would be there in the end. So, you know, it was fun having some fun with him on the track.
I don't remember who caught Jesse Asmussen, but Jesse was sailing all over the place, just blistering stuff in that Diplomat.
Oh, yeah.
And
the 616, yeah.
Yeah, that 616. I think he ended up second in the overall heavy hitter scoring, and Stacy was third. Kluver ended up getting first, and that's on the Badass Trophy. But Jesse all of a sudden just stopped. The bumper was wrapped around the stacks, and mm-hmm. water or antifreeze was everywhere.
The front, that Cadillac, that 162,
that Cadillac,
I think it was, or 169. He was putting on a really good show, and he was the guy in the Diplomat had just spun her. He just hit somebody and spun around, and he no sooner got all the way around, and that Cadillac hit him. I mean, was right there. He never had a chance to make any moves, and boom, it was. And I mean, the front wheels peeled out like this on that Diplomat. But like I said, it was such a great show. I mean, I love heats like that. They're just so entertaining. And I mean, we really definitely the best track they've had at WinterSlam. You know, it may have not have been optimal for fans to watch, but for the track to have it cold like that and stay cold, definitely.
Tell you, I don't think it bothered the fans one bit.
No, but still, I mean, it was.
It's I agree with you 100%. They couldn't get any better of a track.
Yeah, they did really. You know, Jeremy did a nice job, and you know, we talked with him before, and he said he got it on. You know, uncovered, and it had froze.
Froze dry.
And then he said as it got closer to the stage, you know, he said there were some soft spots, but they eventually froze, and man, it was. And I Ben and I were talking, and we expected that with the coolant getting on it, it would start to. And it got a little greasy for the weld class. But still, it was, I mean, it wasn't terrible. No. It was still.
I mean, last year there was a particular element there that nobody was necessarily putting their chips on, the fact that it was 35 degrees, so everything did get soupy, but they tried to scrape that off, and they shifted the class around, and everything worked out fine. Yeah. And the track was great in the second half of the show.
Oh, I mean, absolutely.
In the first year that we were out there, it was cold like this, so we were sort of in the same boat. I mean, it held together nice. Randy was telling me, he goes, it's still going to curl apart. It's still going to come apart on us. I'm like,
didn't come apart that much.
No,
I'm not seeing I'm not seeing where it's going to come apart on you,
and
it didn't.
No. But I mean, that's the thing. You know, we've been there now for this is our third year, and we've seen three different style tracks, and I've yet to be disappointed in the on track action.
No,
I mean those guys. It doesn't matter what it is. You know, those guys work hard. Mm-hmm. You know, they put on a great show for the fans. So
this is one of the shows that you have to see it in person to appreciate what's going on, because the venue is so big.
Yeah,
it's awesome because it is so fast, and when you get like Stacy out there with,
I think the track. They make it a little bit smaller for Slam because normally during the summertime up there, the track is a little bit bigger, which is even funner yet.
Really? Well, they just make it longer for in the summer?
Yes. Yeah. It's normally a little longer and a little bit wider, but it's fast and hard up there too.
That's cool.
We've also got to make room for 140 cars at Winter Slam.
Yeah.
I don't know what the summer draw is.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing it's probably not 140 cars.
Yeah, he's kind of almost outgrown that place up there, unfortunately. It is a nice venue. I mean, in the summertime, it sucks. You really can't find a happy medium because in the summertime, it's, you know, you have 100, 110, and heat index is even higher.
Ooh.
But, you know, yeah, out in the car out there, I have to admit, Saturday was really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, a couple guys had some problems inside the car with the steam coming back inside the cockpit. Was some of those guys that were running 50-50 and straight antifreeze, they were having some trouble getting oxygen into their lungs once that steam came into the car. And a couple guys, the only way that they could even signal for help, because the steam was so thick, was they took their helmet and they threw it across the car and started waving like that as they started to go to sleep.
Yeah, there was a couple guys that helmets came off, but they didn't do that voluntarily either.
Well, yeah, that's true. But some couple, two, three drivers that took their helmets off to call for help.
And I was honestly thinking that during the show, you talked with Chris Lancaster afterwards, and he was one of the guys that, and I was thinking that, I'm like, man, because the steam was really hanging over the track.
Well, it was so cold. Yeah, it was no different than when we were at Blizzard Bash a couple years ago, and the steam couldn't get out of the arena because the cold air was sitting on top. It was doing kind of the same thing. It's, I mean, a little bit different element to it, but because we're outside, but still, that steam was staying low. It wasn't getting up off the ground far.
And that's what I noticed too, is that it seemed like that there was like a lot of steam for a few moments, and then it would kind of dissipate. But I mean, it would, when there was a lot of it, it seemed to really hang on the track. Mm-hmm. So
because you had 20 cars that were steaming all the same time.
Yeah, no kidding, no kidding.
That really sucks for a driver when you're on the track. Big old pile of steam like that, you don't want to go driving into it because you never know what's going to be on the other side.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we don't like stopping on the middle of the track. I know I stopped there once to let it clear to see who was moving on the other side and get recognition of the car before I open it up again. But yeah, that just sucks.
Mm-hmm.
That happened to Cole Trickle once.
Yeah. Just hold your foot on it and it'll be gone when you get there.
Yeah. It wasn't.
It wasn't.
Rely on your spotter.
Yeah. That's next.
Paul Pipe for doing that before. Opened her up, went through a smoke show, and hit somebody square in the driver's door.
Ooh, that's no good.
Yeah, that was not good.
That's no good.
But same track, too.
You were talking about moving that cage. Where did the cage move? You moved it in off the passenger side, or did it move back into the car?
I hit over top of the right rear axle twice, and I shifted the whole cage sideways.
Nice. Wow. Not a bad shot.
Probably didn't have big enough gussets.
Yeah. Ben's, gusset
it's
that,
hard to say.
Gusset that stuff, and it don't happen. Never see one of his cages move.
No. I've seen it move before. It starts out lower than it finishes. The cage ends up in the window more.
Yeah.
I even reinforced my driver's door a little more this year, which I normally don't do because it always gets caved in on top of me. This year it's not caved in, so I must have did it right.
Yep.
Yeah, no doubt.
Either that or it was hard to hit you.
Well, that too. Yeah, that too. Yeah,
nobody could get a hold of you.
Yeah, when you're not sitting still, it's definitely hard to get somebody to tag you in a door.
Yeah, the worst part is I did some relocating inside my car this year. I accidentally hit the fuel pump and shut my car off at one point. I looked down and was, are you an idiot? I said, I just hit that myself and shut it off. So I flipped it back up, started up, took off.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm going to have to move that part running again. So.
Yep.
Would you have been able to identify that inside the car if it was a night derby?
Yeah, I would, because I got to light that shell if the fuel pump light is on or the fuel switch is on.
Gotcha.
That's the only way you would have seen it otherwise, I think. So, I've been upgrading a little bit here. I'm old school. I don't like getting too carried away with some of the newer stuff, but, sometimes you just got to
step up, right?
Sometimes.
Well, that's one of them functional purpose things that a lot of people overlook, and it's actually a real smart thing. Because how many people that if you didn't have a light, like you said, you wouldn't have known.
Yeah.
You would have been searching around the whole inside of that car, what the hell's going on, you know? And it's just, it's one less thing. You just quick look, the light's on, the light's off, okay, It's problem solving fast, that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, especially on a track that was that dry and that fast, you don't have time to sit around, you gotta go.
Oh no, you blink, you're getting tattooed.
Yep, no doubt.
Yeah.
It's definitely turned into
Over, 616 or even number 6, Craig Peterson, he was lighting people up too
from listening
to your guys' video there earlier today, so.
Yeah, that class has definitely become almost like a Cadillac fest. There seems to be a lot more electric caddies out there running now.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and they've gotten creative on where they're where they're starting to tilt them and pitch them.
Yeah, it's definitely the preferred car for that class, which is great because guys are driving them like you should drive a Cadillac. They're driving hard to the front end, so I'm happy with that. Keep it up. Let's see all caddies next year. Really tear stuff up.
Nah, I think we need to see a couple more Muradas.
I was happy with that Murata, too. I wish he would have had a little better luck. I think he ended up hung up on the wall.
I wasn't very happy what he had going on. I don't know if he set a smoke bomb off or whatever through that tube.
What?
No, seriously.
I think he was overheating before because he'd ran the overflow up onto the roof. And when he was on the line, there was green fluid coming out of that already.
I mean, it was like, dude, really? I mean, he put up a smoke screen through that track right off the bat when he came off that line. And it's nice to have them run, and you want everybody to run. But me, as a flag person type point of view, safety part of it, I think I would have had a talk with him, because he literally screwed up the visibility on that track instantly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Early on,
if you remember last year, before people even drove on the track in his class, a lot of them were overheating and steaming already.
Yep. Yep.
They got that cut down pretty good at least this year, so I don't mind that aspect.
Yep.
I was impressed with the handiwork that 11 skid steers can do.
Oh, Whoa. Yeah. That was nice.
That just proves the fact. We've been saying that nonstop. Nonstop, we've been pushing promoters, telling them, get rid of the damn trucks.
Yep.
Get a bunch of skid steers, or track skid steers, and you'd be amazed.
And the guys that know how to run them.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And no doubt. Part of it, too.
You'd be amazed on how fast it can clear a track.
I mean, there's 28, 30 cars out there on the track. There's 6 of them working on the track and 6 of them working off to the side, taking them to trailers.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, turnaround was like that.
Yeah, it was terrific. Yeah. And, I mean, that's something, you really got to, again, take the hats off to the promoters. I mean, you want to get action going on track as soon as you can. And that's obviously.
When it's negative 10? Yeah.
That's obviously one thing they did. So it was, just great all around day.
Well, that's one of the things that Randy's talked about before in some of our conversations, and he's fully aware of the fact that he's essentially outgrown the facility, but he's got so many people that are willing to help him that live so close to right there. Mm-hmm. You'd have to move 50 miles away So would you still have that same support. Network of support? So would you be reduced down to now only having four skid steers or whatever and the situation would be?
The way I look at it, too, is he has – the event he has there right now, it's kind of a unique event, a location and everything else. It has uniqueness. You filled it, okay? Okay, so next year, shit, people, this year, I wanted to run that show. Well, next year – they won't, you know, they won't be sleeping when it's registration time, and they'll register. I mean, supply and demand.
Yep.
You know, the demand's there. You know, people want to come run that show, the unique show. So it's going to fill. You know, it has a likelihood of filling every year. So why piss around and move it somewhere?
Yeah.
You know, and on top of that, you have, like Chris said, you have the volunteers and the people willing to help, and you have that streamlined, you know, in between the heats and stuff like that. Why change it, you know?
Yep.
It's you don't fix something that's not broke.
Well, and that's the thing, too. You know, like Chris mentioned, so many people that help. I mean, I was standing next to him as he was reading off the list of sponsors and people that do help, and there was, like, two sheets front and back of sponsors and volunteers, and which is great. I mean, it's great to see a community come together and support a derby like that. So, you know, it's definitely, I mean, you know, I think, you know, barring some strange occurrence, you know, I'm going on a limb to say that show will be sold out car-wise again next year, and there'll probably be even more people again this year. I mean, it's definitely grown in size every year as far as fans and as far as cars. So, you know, I'm going to go out on a limb and say it'll be sold out again. So, but I mean, I think the place actually adds to it. You know, it's kind of a cool place. You kind of drive down into it and, you know, drive down to the track. And I really like everything about it. I mean, it's definitely an experience. And, you know, you should definitely put it on a bucket list to go check it out.
Just you might have to – everybody might have to drive RVs next year because there won't be no motels wanting them.
That could happen.
I don't know. I think a lot of that will get taken care of here. There's a lot of surprises. The Best Western got a little bit – overrun and taken over, so to say. But great turnout at the after party. I mean, Randy's got to be happy with that. I think everybody involved with Winter Slam's got to be holding their head pretty high. We're going to be catching up with the compact winner, Jared Ryan, here in just a minute. But before we let Stacy go, anybody that you wanted to make mention of, Stacy, before we shift gears here to the compacts?
Well, I would just like to thank you, Randy and Jeremy, for putting on a good show, keeping it going, getting it better every year, and for everybody that helps me out during the year, because everybody knows that you see me at the track, I'm willing to help anybody out, or almost anybody, I should say. Everything to do to get on the track. And even if they run in my class, I don't have a problem with that. That's what I like. I like the competition. And I'm trying to give back to something that I've been doing good at for 25-plus years. So.
Awesome. Cool. Well, Stacy, man, always great catching up with you. Congratulations on the run, and third place in the heavy hitter scoring as well. Great win for you. Well done.
All right. Thank you, guys.
We'll see you soon.
Have a good one.
There goes Stacy Flynn, winner of the 80s chain class at the Napa Winter Slam. We've got to take a quick break here, but first, before we do that, just want to let you know the Caledonia Crash and Jam Festival scheduled for the 26th of July. Looking forward to that. That is going to be part of the Caledonia Fair events. Compact feature, $1,100 to win, $350 for second, $300 for third, and from fifth on down, it's $200.
Nice.
Not
pay
too
out.
Bad there. Full-size feature, $1,400 to win, $450 for second, $400 for third, $350 for fourth, $300 for fifth on down. Junk run is $500 first, $250 second, $7,850 reserved right now as of today. Obviously, that number could change as sponsor input and things go up. That's Kenny Swingle working together with the Caledonia Fair. That's Livingston County Fair Board in Caledonia. Awesome set of rules. It's going to be basically the heavy hitting rules, the limited well rules that we've seen at Cuba in years past, and the compacts are going to be silly heavy compacts, so they're going to be able to get out there and blast away. Traditionally, they have more full-size cars there than compact cars at that fair for the last several years, so we're going to hopefully see that trend continue, and that's the hometown for a lot of drivers that are known to be just skinny pedal drivers. Not out there to win trophies, they're out there to just deliver bruises. So
maybe we'll see the OG of Derby and Tommy Dowd there.
There's already a lot of speculation about some of the guys that are going to be there. So it's kind of exciting that that's coming down the line. A couple more things that we want to let everybody know about. Take a look at this, and we will be right back.
Capital City Carnage will kick off the 2016 schedule for Ultimate Derby, paying $30,000 to win. The show is open to only 100 cars with slightly lighter build specs than Blizzard Bash. The feature field will be set by a series of 10 qualifying heats, and only around 20 cars will make the A main. The elite program will open the season for Ultimate Derby, which will close the year right back in Topeka, Kansas Expo Center with the 2016 Blizzard Bash. But first, we'll crown the champion of Capital City Carnage April 29th to 30th in downtown Topeka. For more, visit www.capitalcitycarnage.com. Kings of Old School returns for their second installment of Spring Chaos June 11th and 12th at the Broome County Fairgrounds in Whitney Point, New York. Last year, it was Jonathan Furr coming away with the inaugural title. The show promises as much action as last year, springing into a two-day format for the first time. Rules and payout are posted online at kingsofoldschool.net. The Kings of Old School team event will be center stage again, moving to the Delaware County Fairgrounds in Walton, New York, as part of the Kings of Old School Regional Championship Program September 4th and 5th. The county and event winners from around the Northeast will be eligible to run during this championship event. For more details, again, jump online and visit kingsofoldschool.net or visit the group on Facebook. Smash It Demolition Derbies has partnered with Crash Course for the duration of the 2016 season. Offering more than 40 shows throughout Ohio, they are the promotion group that oversees the annual Bash for Cash. Scheduled for May 27th to the 29th, the Memorial Day Weekend Classic is now 3 days long and will feature three main events paying in excess of $10,000 to each of three drivers. The DEC Header Compacts run Friday night with their feature set for Sunday paying $10,000. The DerbyTees.com Turn Back the Clock and Big Rock Mira 80s and Newer will also pay first place more than $10,000 in each division on Sunday night. Light trucks, youth cars, the wire class, 80s newer wire class, full-size trucks, street stocks, and 5-foot full-size outlaws for the schedule as the show moves to its new home at the Ross County Fairgrounds in Chillicothe, Ohio. Again, that's the Bash for Cash 2016, May 27th to the 29th in Chillicothe, Ohio. For more on the Bash for Cash or Smash It's County Fair schedule, visit www.smashitderby.com.
And we are back here, going to be getting with Jared Ryan here momentarily. Came away with a win in the compact division. Jared, man, congratulations on that run. You did a real nice job with that car.
Awesome. I appreciate the compliment. I had a blast out there at Winter Slam. So.
Definitely looked like it.
Yeah, definitely think you were having fun out there.
Yeah, you were definitely sending shit.
Yeah.
I was going for the Mad Dog and best paint, and that's all I wanted.
Oh, so you took that trophy?
Kind of happened, I guess.
You took that first place trophy and gave it back then?
Yep, I just left it there.
Yeah.
Left that there. Make sure you brought the check home, though. That's
Yeah, well, I kept that part of it.
Yeah. But
why not? I mean, you had a pretty decent run here the last couple of times we've seen you run out there at Wadena back in August, and now we see you again with the weather significantly different and kind of the same result.
Yeah, not too bad. Kind of both shows had kind of a lot of good drivers in them, so.
That's no lie.
Yeah, there's definitely no drivers.
Yep. And I gotta say, I appreciate you guys keep on coming back to our neck of the woods and doing this. It's a great show of respect for us, honestly.
We love it in Minnesota.
Yeah, we do. Like I said, this is my third time going, and I haven't been disappointed yet. You guys do, you know, great builders and great drivers. It's definitely, there's definitely a lot of derby, you know, great derby builders and drivers and represented in Minnesota.
Yeah, absolutely.
There was a bunch of the bankrupt cars there. Brendan Bruss driving out there in the compacts for the first time. He was there in the four car. Jason Calhoun was out there. It was good to see him. Kanzenbacks. I mean, there's like 60 of them.
I can't even name them all off, really. So.
And we've seen them win before and mm-hmm. perform very well. Greg Mayer, he had a tough break. He had an old Jonathan Muse car that ran at Winter Slam last year. He had some problems with that left front corner coming apart on him. It was unfortunate because he was full of hate and discontent. And he was ready to go destroy stuff.
Rough weekend.
Yeah, real rough weekend. But, you know, I mean, for the most part, to come away with a win in any of the classes at Winter Slam it's a challenge. And the rules that you guys have to work with and what you're able to do with your compacts, it makes it even more of a crapshoot because you're driving cars that have the potential to be very, very hard if they're built right.
Yeah. Honestly, they're not the Winter Slam rules. You can't build them as hard as we usually like to, frankly.
Well, I think that applies for everybody.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's everywhere. But, yeah, it's a different set of rules for me, too. I'm used to one-inch threaded rod everywhere and welded firewall forward and this and that. So.
But what I'm saying is you've got the ability to, if you build the car right, it's going to be strong in the front. But because you've got a lot of different calibers of builder, you've also got a real good group of drivers out there who can wheel a car. They actually can drive themselves out of trouble. That it's the little things. If you skip two or three small things, that can add up to an opening for you to blast somebody and take them out. It'd be a kill shot right off the bat. So you really need to keep your head on a pivot when you've got 30, 32 knuckleheads out there ready to tear each other's faces off.
Yeah.
And you got to make sure that you come there with a car that's built to the maximum of what it can be. Given what the rule book is, you're right. Anybody can make a car hard when you've got one-inch all thread and stuff. And really, this sort of exemplifies the guys who are able to detune a build and still make the car last.
Yep. And I guess I was pretty happy with how the inspections went. You know, there wasn't anything goofy that wasn't in the rules that, you know, I was happy with all of that. You know, they didn't nitpick on something that didn't matter. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. What was at one point during the compact show, we were announcing. I was gonna say something to you about it, but there was a car that had the like wheelbarrow tires on the back of it, and they were all the way up underneath, like where the floorboard is for the rear passengers. Mm-hmm. I mean, that thing was abused. Mm-hmm. Yellow and black. I think the car was yellow and black. I can't remember the number.
I can't remember it either. But I know.
Man, did that thing take.
Was it the Scott guy? I almost want to say it was...
The black and yellow 54. Derek Scott, is that it?
I don't remember, but I mean, that thing... And he made it quite a ways down in. I mean, he was right there. He had to be somewhere top five or top ten, I would say. But
Yep, I remember. I remember him there at the end, so...
Yeah, take us through that last little bit.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I just kind of noticed that getting to be less and less cars, so I was trying to put some kill shots down. It always didn't work out, but I was having some fun at the end there. That's for sure. At one point, I don't know if my seatbelt came unbuckled or what happened, but I ended up on the passenger side of the car.
Yeah, right in front of us.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I got to get back in my seat and get buckled up here.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I made the comment that he was literally knocked completely out of his seat, because he was completely out of the seat at that point. But... Yeah, you were definitely driving for the Mad Dog. That was awesome to watch. Mm-hmm.
Jared and Brendan both took turns introducing themselves to Jason Sherman.
Yeah, Jason. Jason had a good run up there too. I mean, he was definitely driving like Jason does, and you know, I think he ended up breaking the computer. He said,
but he was lined up, and he backed it. As when in Rome, do as the Romans. And
nose out.
Minnesota, he lined nose out. Right across from him, the guy pulled in, nosed in. And he said, I couldn't not.
Yeah.
I couldn't not. The green flag came out, and he sailed across the track and tagged that guy in the back end, and the back end just went kablooey, and I don't think the car ever moved again.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
I think at that point...
That's my favorite, hitting that pop can rear end. That's the best things to do.
Yep, no doubt. It's like hitting a square-back Chevy wagon.
With a subframe.
Yep. Poof, there it goes.
How about a Skylark with a subframe?
No, it was
a full frame.
With a full frame.
Oh, was it?
And that was the passenger's door. That wasn't the back end.
I understand it wasn't the passenger door, but it had to be fun.
Yeah.
I missed it. I came up and saw the aftermath. I didn't even know what had happened. But I came up and was told it was my fault. I wasn't exactly sure how that worked out, but that's a different story.
True. It was your fault.
But... Yeah, definitely great job up there, man. You definitely made that. You guys made that a fun class to watch.
Yeah, we try to every time, and I know probably knew a good 20 of the guys in the heat, and any one of them could have pulled it off, in my opinion.
So, you know, you just hit on something that that Stacy had hit on a little bit earlier, how you knew so many people that you're on the track with. There was no nonsense after any of it. There was nobody upset, nobody yelling and screaming. Everybody got out of their car, shook hands. Everybody's having a good time. And then you guys were more or less escorted off the track because the skid steers were clearing the track so fast. But there was no nonsense. I mean, we didn't even get any wind of stuff spilling over from the pits that people were upset about. There was nothing even that was brought up back at the hotel, like, well, you missed whatever. Tell me a little bit about how that played out. Is it easier to run with people that you know, or do you like running against strangers?
A little bit of both, I guess. It's fun to run against new people, but there's something, you know, you kind of get used to how people do things, how they drive, you know, how you see this guy waiting in the corner sometimes, you know about that. And, but, yeah, I mean, they're a stand-up group of guys there. That's all there is to it. I could say that about everybody that runs compacts in Minnesota. Very few people I dislike.
Couple items that we had missed a little bit earlier. Matt Schwartz coming away with a win in that truck feature. Truck feature was another one that we didn't want to miss. Right away, there was two or three trucks up and over the berm, and those berms had frozen.
Yeah.
So when they hit the berms, they were basically Snake River Canyoning their way out of the park. I mean, it was wild.
Tony Mozlowski drove right down to third place for the trucks.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to win one of these years. I mean, I think last year he got something in his eye, and then he ended up having mechanic, but he was right down there at the end again. I mean, he's got to be one of the favorites to win one of these years.
Matt Schwartz, he had a good run last year, and I think it was Gary Pesica that won last year. But you know, Matt was a hammer out there. Did the same thing again this year, and then winning the main event, which we haven't even gotten a chance to sort of break down. That Brandon Johnson coming away with the win there. Mitch Carlson wanted that win so bad, and Matt Stenberg, same thing. Both of those guys really felt that they had put, you know, some of their best effort into these cars and felt this was their year. And Carlson, he was content to take second because he did everything that he could. Stenberg ended up losing reverse, which is a tough break for him. Ryan Oldham in that purple number 26 from Iowa, great show.
Oh, absolutely.
He had the whole right rear wheel ripped off, and the brake rotor stayed intact, and that's what he was limping around on.
Smoking, ended up, making it smoke.
Yeah, fourth, fifth, something like that for him.
Fourth.
And, but great drive for Brandon Johnson.
Fourth with the most underbuilt car there.
Yeah,
I mean, that car was way
older. You mean older?
Oh yeah, way underbuilt. We touched on it. That car had been from Iowa to New York, back to Iowa to Minnesota, and great drive.
And hitting on the winner, Brandon Johnson. Brandon did a real nice job of keeping his nose clean.
Oh yeah,
and Mitch Carlson hit him nose to nose at one point, hoping to get up and over it to get to the radiator. I don't think it was going to do a whole lot in terms of the way that motor didn't seem like it was limbering, you know, limping at all, as cold as it was. If it got run out of coolant, what really would have been the next step for him? He tried to, but it started bending the nose on Mitch's car. And I appreciate Mitch's dedication to the cause, because usually once it starts to bend, it's going to keep bending, but he just kept wailing away and using the nose you know, nonetheless, good run for Brandon. Nice stout piece. He had some luck on his side too, because if Mitch ever got a hold of the back end and bent that thing down any further, it was going to be a completely different finish. I think. I'm not saying that he wouldn't have won it, but I think it would have been a very, very different.
Well, they know they both knew. You know, Mitch had to protect the front end, and Brandon had to protect the back. And I mean, that was, you know, what it really came down to. I mean, we touched on that.
And Mitch did have a shot on the ass end of it. He put a shot on it, but it was already too late. His front bumper was too high.
Yeah, it went over.
So it went up and over the bodywork high enough to where it didn't affect the humps as bad. But, you know, and that's one of the classes where, just like a lot of other classes, but that class especially, every little itty-bitty thing counts. You know, if you this little thing that might not seem that it matters, and that little thing might not seem that it matters, and you put them all together, and it matters.
And we've said that before a million times. Is, you know, when you get to classes like that, generally you're not going to find one big thing to get over on everybody. You got to find a bunch of little things to add up to the one big thing. You know, and we were, you know, I was standing there with Ben for most of the day in the inspection line. When that car came through, Ben and I both said that car is going to be there at the end. You could tell it was a very, you know, not taking anything away from anybody else's, but I mean, because there was some really, really well put together cars. But, you know, Ben and I both said that.
The car?
Say that again, Jared.
Mitch's car.
Mitch's car was well
Mitch's
put together,
and Brandon's, yeah.
But the kid that won it.
Yeah,
the 211 or 21. He had 21 on the roof.
211.
Yeah. But his
reps at 211.
Reps at 211. I mean, he's a super nice guy.
Oh yeah.
But you can just tell some of the guys you can just tell.
Yep.
And just by looking at their cars and looking at their workmanship and
yep.
And especially on a Chevy Impala. I mean, there's four or five spots I looked at specifically and chuckled to myself, you know, and it's like, yep. And it's just, you know, and these guys asked me what I thought. And I says, he's going to be there at the end. And then when he then at the feature time, like, he's got the feature, you know, and then he ended up winning. But,
yep.
You know, like you said, I mean, if Mitch could have got a shot on the rear end of that earlier.
Yeah, when the bumper was lower, he could have.
And Mitch was trying too. He was trying to drive him backwards, get him to back up and make a mistake, and get those frame rails stuck underneath one of the other cars. And he tried. I mean, he did everything he could. But
I don't know if they knew. And that's another class. You don't know if them guys knew each other. You know, I don't know any. You know, I don't know. Maybe those four guys knew one another. So it's like, let's run. You know. Let's watch out, you know, when it gets down to the four, then, you know, no holds bar, you know, the best man wins.
Yep.
And in them cases, you know, they're kicking themselves in the ass, you know, later that night or the next day, you know, well, maybe I should have put a shot on him earlier, you know, but you never know. You know, that's one of them unknowns, you know.
Yep. Well, Jared, man, is there anybody that you want to make mention of here before we let you go?
Well, yeah, I'd like to give a shout out to my teammates Tony, Logan, and Shane. They're always helping me out. Al's Auto Parts. He's always giving me cars out there, and I'd really like to mention the girl who painted my car for Winter Slam here, Katie. She did an amazing job on it, in my opinion. Couldn't have asked for more out of that.
Looked like it was plated.
Yeah, it looked like a nice car.
yep, that was it. Yep,
going for the tank appearance.
Hoping somebody would make me start cutting the sheet metal, but
that's awesome.
Well done, Jared. It was good catching up with you here.
All right, yeah, thanks, and I appreciate you guys coming out.
No problem.
No problem, man. We enjoyed it.
Anytime, Jared. We'll see you soon.
Yeah, thanks, Chris.
No problem. There goes Jared Ryan, winner of the compacts. We broke down a lot of Winter Slam. There was another derby the next day. Mm-hmm. Randy Wasoski took his compact car out and won. Oh boy, it's not good. Randy took his compact car out and won the compact heat, and then turned around and brought it out for the limited welds and tagged an Imperial. Colton Newhalfen ended up winning that over Matt Ertman in that event in Austin, Minnesota. I believe it was a breast cancer benefit derby, so it's good to see that. And I know Brian was following very close what was going on down in Florida.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our friends, Joe Lombardi, JC Molly's they had a derby in Florida, and Steve Siopa came away with the win. Joe was second, Todd was third, and Todd got heavy hitter.
Yep.
We watched it.
And wasted a transmission.
And yeah, we watched it. I watched it sitting in the airport in Minnesota, and it was funny. I was texting with Todd and Steve, and I said, Todd, man, you're getting kind of rough on transmissions. Oh, you got a speed shift them cars when you're on the asphalt. And so they put on a great show. Steve said he burned off a set of curb kickers. Most important thing is they raised some money for help me with the name, Chris.
Anthony? That was Brandon.
Brandon, yep. Yes.
Team Brandon.
Raised some money for a little young man that's having some pretty serious health issues. Todd donated his prize money back, and all three of the guys gave the young man their trophies. So, great overall show. You guys want to check that out? It's on Siopa Racing, because this time of year everybody's hungry for some derby action. So check that out. If you haven't seen Winter Slam, Chris has posted that on the Crash Course page. The link is up. I see a few people somewhere around, you know, 1,200, I think, have watched it so far. But
yeah,
great show. Definitely worth the time to sit and watch that. So
some of the folks liked it, some of them didn't. Best we could do. It was a challenge.
Way more like it than didn't.
It was a tough day.
Well, I touched on Ben and I were down in the inspection line, and you know, because as we touched before, Chris does most of the setup, because it's, you know, that's his deal, And we came up, and Chris was like, well, we're on to plan B. And I'm like, what do you mean? Well, this one didn't work because of this. And so I'm doing this and this and this because that didn't work. And, you know, in the end, it all came out. We had a little trouble with the sound once in a while. But other than that, I mean, you know.
We ended up getting down the list. I mean, we were down to plan D. we got down that list pretty far. But, I mean, that's one of the reasons why we've got different catches in place, and we've officially spent one of the JVCs. It's all done. It's
junk. Really?
The camera's garbage.
The one that
wasn't going to boot up for Ben.
Yeah.
It had gotten too cold, and we tried to turn it on. It had shorted out. So that thing is done. We actually, since we had the time to, we threw it out the window of the plane because no one was going to say anything because we knew that plane wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah, no doubt at that point. We definitely had a little extra time.
But, you know, we tried to make the best of what we had there. Northeast Derby Banquet coming up on Saturday. We're going to be there live. Excited to be there and part of that. Also, February the 20th. And what's up? No, you can come in. You can go sit back down. This camera's here. Oh, it is? Here we go. That'll, if you go out through the glass door, you can come back in. Perfect. So now we don't have to go out there. We'll send Ben to do it.
Okay.
where was I? Oh, February the 20th is also the Motorama, where the RC Derby is being held the 20th and 21st. Ed Brewster and Josh Farrell are going up there to occupy that. I know Ryan Davenport and Jeremy Caddy are going down. They won the Derby that was up here at Radio Hill Raceway, but the Muhio Championship. Jordan Rutherford joining us here on the phone to talk a little bit about that here as we wrap up episode number 119. Jordan, man, welcome to the show.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, trying to get this so that we can hear you a little bit better. Maybe this will work. Let's try this. There, try that now. That a little better?
Yes, that's much better for me.
Perfect. It's going to be better for us as well. So tell us a little bit about what's going on here on Saturday down there for the HTRC group.
They're trying to make the best RC Derby yet. We got a lot of sponsors backing us. We got my folks at Couches Grocery and Garden Center, and we got Rubber Duck 4x4 behind us. We got RV Nation. Diecraft Machining and Engineering, RV Nation, RAC Graphics, providing all the banners and everything, Russ Fab Shop, Tillery Siding, J&W Motorsports, and they really all just came together and backed us so we could try to put together, you know, the first big RC Derby around here. Me and David Tillery and Ryan Andrews were all coming back from Blizzard Bash celebrating our victory on the way home, and that was the talk of the ride home, was, you know, how can we put on the best RC Derby yet? So here we are a week before it, and it's really grew. Numbers have just grown enormously, like, especially in the last month or so. The last Derby we had this Friday night, we had 33 cars show up just for, you know, just a little Friday night get-together. And,
wow.
So we're pretty ecstatic to see the numbers we can pull for Saturday. We're hoping for, you know, 50. That might be a high shot, but we're going to go for it. That'd be right at what Blizzard Bash had. So,
yep.
We're gonna try it. It should be a pretty good deal. We got all kinds of bodies to raffle off. We got Kickstarter energy drinks from Pepsi. They're going to set up a display, and they'll be giving that away.
Sweet.
I mean, we've really got quite a bit of stuff going our way for it.
I think that's awesome. That's crazy. You look at 50 cars. You got Pepsi on board. Nice job.
That's great.
Well done.
A lot of sponsors, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, we're just figure if you don't ask, you don't know. So worst thing they'll say is no. So we hit everybody.
Definitely. You guys gonna make the trip out to Topeka again this year?
Yeah, that's our goal. We plan on being there. I guess we'll see if we can maybe bring back the gold two times in a row.
You got to go back, man. Yeah, you got to defend the title.
Right? Hey, I'm sure they'll be more ready for us this time.
Well, I know a guy from Seneca County that says he's going back and cleaning house. I don't know if he's running for Mad Dog or if he's running to win, but I hear this guy's going prepared and stacked when he goes back to Topeka.
James Brown lives in Yates County.
That's just what I heard, man.
James Brown lives in Yates County. That's not me.
No. I hope so. Topeka was a blast. It was my first time out there. Blizzard Bash was awesome. It made it worth it being able to drag our RC cars out there with us and getting to watch one of the best derbies I've probably ever seen in person. It was definitely a time of my life.
We've been given all day Friday for the RC Derby.
That's awesome.
And right now the projections, if things continue with the feedback that we've got on this, we may have to put a limit on entries at 100.
Really?
Because there's just no way I don't know how we'd be able to fit it all in. I mean, if we get more than that, I don't know how we'd be able to fit it all in. But, I mean, right now it's looking like 100 is going to be very easy to hit.
That's awesome.
It's nice to have something like this so close to home, because now we've got a big one in February.
Yep.
We're going to come back in May with Bash for Cash. I know there's some stuff that's being planned for a couple of the other shows in the upper states. And then I think Brad Carson's working on something at Metal Mayhem. Brad Witt's got a couple of things planned. So this is always in the forefront. We're talking now here. Jordan, I think you've spent some time out here on Seneca Lake, right?
Yes, one of the most beautiful parts of the country.
So Jordan's got a reason to come out here in March, because there's going to be an RC Derby at Finger Lakes Mall.
Really?
Yeah. During the Finger Lakes Autorama.
Really?
Yep.
That's cool. Yep. When did that get put together?
Well, we got to get them set on the rules a little bit. It's some interesting decisions that were made with the rules. So we're going to try and straighten that stuff out with them, and they're going to have a derby up there.
That's cool.
Why not? So that's now cool. Jordan's going to have to come back to Seneca Lake and stop by Auburn.
I don't think he's going to want to be at Seneca Lake in March.
What'd you say, Jordan?
I said, that gives me a reason to take off work. I'm in.
It'd be awesome. Well, I'm happy for you guys getting the background and support that you've got around this thing. And it's good to see the JMW banner still staying close to what's going on with HT. It's a good relationship from the get-go. And you guys have got a real nice set of rules. How many cars now are you guys in a situation where you're popping out? Are you keeping up with orders pretty well, or are you guys still falling behind?
We've been getting worn out this week, especially coming up for our big show, but we've pretty much had to tell them, like, between getting the dirt down and getting our own cars done and everything, like, they're just going to have to wait, especially for this week, to get over. But, yeah, the building bodies and selling them, it keeps a nice little side gig going. I know David especially stays extremely backed up on them. His bodies are definitely have the best name going around, and
yep,
you know, it works out great for him. But it makes it fun. I mean, that's, you know, 50% of the fun in the RC Derby and is trying to turn that piece of flat aluminum into looking like a real Derby car to me.
I got to give you guys a shout out. I mean, the bodies I've been seeing pictures of are just, I mean, amazing.
These guys are where that the Bobby Whitaker style wagon came from. They're the ones that are making the trunks that are canoed now. The quarter panel comes up and it's folded down. Yeah, you guys have an Electra now too, right? With the window in the back. And I saw them put out a box style Lincoln.
Yep. We pretty much all came with like a square body Crown Vic or square body Lincoln built for Blizzard Bash. But with the back bumper roll where you could run the chassis back bumpers, they worked out pretty sweet. But changing it up this year, going with the no chassis back bumper, you got a whole lot more to plan for, because there's a whole lot more that can go wrong in the back, giving them a length requirement. So, yeah, we're. I think most of us, at least our little group of dudes, we'll be in some square bodies with tucked trunks, going the old school way, trying to get it to flip up or flip the notch or whatever you'd like to call it. You know, that back to the older school set of rules. So when they bend, you can try to keep on going and you're not raking the dirt and everything.
If you remember correctly, when you guys first started talking about the RC Derby, we said wait till it gets to Ohio and then things are going to go. We weren't lying. Wait till it got to Ohio and you see where things are, which is, you know, it's testament. I mean, that's, you know, Ohio is definitely, if not the one of the hotbeds in for all forms of derby.
In terms of the most forward thinking?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, I think so. I tucked the trunk on that purple Chrysler that I had. I took one piece and made it folded down and then brought that out to the back like I had a trunk floor in it and punched a window in it so it would collapse it around the motor. And it hasn't moved yet. It just keeps punching in a little bit. It's doing what I want it to do. So if an idiot like me can figure out how to make it kind of work, scares the hell out of me that these guys are going to have that.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding.
Just staying home.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to
throw a little heat on.
It's been great. We've had some guys from our neighboring county come down, and we've had two shows in the last 3 weeks, just sort of like a thrown-together deal, but what our thrown-together deals kind of the one day ended up being 26 cars, and then this past Friday, like I said, ended up being 33. And,
not bad.
Jason Wisman, a guy from Preble County who used to do a lot of derby and a few years back was won some big derbies and whatnot. He's been coming down and cleaning house. He's been taking home some paychecks around here. So he's definitely one to be looking out for this weekend.
Well, make sure you fill us in. Take lots of pictures. Fill us in on how it goes. I'd like to get that coverage in the magazine for you.
That'd be awesome, guys.
Well, we appreciate you, Jordan. Hopefully, in a couple weeks, we'll be able to catch up with you about a month away from the one at Finger Lakes Mall at Twisted Speedway. It's TWISSTED, and then HTRC. You can jump online. You can also find Tillery Fabricated Bodies and Rourke Fabricated Bodies on Facebook. Look up Jordan Rutherford. Find him on Facebook. You can find out more about it. Get out there. Support that thing. I'd love to see you guys hit 50 cars. That'd be excellent.
That'd be terrific.
Is that
Jonathan?
Yeah, that's our goal, so we'll see what happens.
What'd you say, Ben?
That's our goal, so hopefully it happens.
Ask him again.
What relation to you, or if any, are you to John?
That's my father.
That's what I was going to say. That's what I just said to Brian. I says, is that Johnny's son? No, shit, that's cool.
Yep.
And is my dad.
Very good derby driver.
Right, yeah, there. I was going to say that. Derby's in that bloodline.
That's an understatement. That man could build a nasty-ass motor, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I see him laugh.
I got the privilege of running against him when we all came out to Ohio with our Imperials. We ran against him. That's the first time I met your dad. Had a real good time. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Dave Seeley drove an Imperial at Chautauqua County and then proceeded to drive it 13 more times that he got off of George's dad.
Doesn't surprise me.
No, because that wagon he had out there that year was pretty nasty. Pretty nasty wagon.
No, that's cool. That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome.
Small world, huh?
Yep. Yeah.
I was waiting for you to bite on that, but then we ended up sending you around to do a security check and unlock all the doors.
I had wondered, but I hadn't got to asking the question yet. But cause like I said, Rutherford's a pretty big name in the derby world.
We talked about that quite a bit with Jordan down in Topeka.
Yeah. Yeah. Jordan, would you have been the young man that was really young at the time that would have been driving the car around like to inspection and stuff back in the day, or?
Yeah, Metal Mayhem would probably be the biggest one. I got to cruise most of Dad's old wagons around, and then the one year he broke my heart, he took a GM wagon and he took a Rivy to Mayhem, and he qualified both for the feature, and he put I'm sure you guys have heard of Jason Shealing. He put him behind the wheel, and Jason drove our other car to second place finish, and it killed me that Dad didn't put me in it. But the next year I got to come back. I was in a 2003 Lincoln, and I ran the 80 to newer class, and I won that. So I've been around him in the pits and got a little bit of a win at Mayhem, not the big class, but you know it counts.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, that's Mayhem winner. That's all that matters.
It's not like it's a not as big a win now out there that it was, but back then that was.
Oh yeah.
You know, that's back in the heyday. That's back when it was still.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's definitely top notch to win any of the classes out there.
No doubt.
Yep, that's awesome.
Well, Jordan, man, is there anything else that you wanted to make mention of here before we let you go?
No, I can't say that there is. Just thank you guys for backing it as good much as you guys do, and hopefully I can make the trip up to New York and maybe do a little fishing and get to play with my RC car with you guys.
Sounds good to me.
That'd be cool.
Nice.
We hope to see you. Best of luck this weekend.
Hey, you guys too. Thank you.
We'll see you later. There goes Jordan Rutherford wrapping up episode number 119, looking back at Winter Slam, talking with Jordan. Banquet's coming up this weekend. It's a busy week. I'm glad that we don't have school for more than just the delayed trip home this week. We've got I'm in trouble now. Hang on. Randy Moslowski just texted me.
Right, because you didn't talk to him.
Could be.
Dom, he didn't have the hat on. It says Boss Man, so.
full-size heavy hitters. That's we didn't do full-size heavy hitters. Jason Cox in the question mark car.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he did okay, didn't he?
Oh, no, yeah. Yeah. Well, I was going to touch on that, and I forgot all about it. We were down there when it came through inspection, and the guy that built his motor and also built the cradle, he was standing there.
Wendelman? Was it Wendelman?
I can't remember the name.
Chad Davis. Chad Davis in the juice box car ended up third heavy hitter, and it was Jordan in that 7X. He got out right in front of us. Jordan H. I don't remember his last name.
Well, we were looking at the Ford, Jason's Ford, before.
I was looking at it in the morning at the parking lot of the hotel.
Yeah.
I got pictures of it.
The guy that built his motor actually took a water pump and machined it so they could put a distributor in it, distributor and a mechanical fuel pump.
Yeah, so got rid of all
the electric stuff. Wow. But it was a beautiful setup, and that motor ran. Yep.
And again,
he was using it.
He was using it.
Some of the heavy hitters again, John Kluver winning in the 80s class. Jesse was second, Stacy third. We hit on those guys earlier. And which class is this? This is the trucks. I don't know, I can't read it.
No, he's the one, the guy that had the cradle in that.
John Brand. John Brand in the number 50, you remember? That truck I was telling you that the cab had run there before, but the bed was new.
Yep, yep.
He ended up getting heavy hitter in the truck division.
Yep.
And I think we hit on all the compact guys, right?
Yeah, I think you ran down through that.
I think we ran down them. I'll double check it. And there's 80s. Which one was first? Full size. Trucks. Compacts. We'll double check compacts quick. Again, it was 71 Jared Ryan who got the win and the heavy hitter award, the 14X of Brad Stanke coming away with second place overall in the heavy hitter ranking. And then that RU18 car, which he did some damage too. Andrew Ox.
And unfortunately, we didn't get any pictures of the badass trophies because they were really badass this year.
They were awesome.
He went above and beyond, and my phone wasn't agreeing with the temperature, so it wasn't working quite up to par, so I wasn't able to get any trophies, but man.
Mine shut off twice.
Yeah.
I finally coaxed it into starting back up, and it shut off again.
We have some guys here that are building trophies. You know, Brandon Tyson builds trophies, and Josh Buell's got into the business, but man, does Terry go above and beyond every year, and the stuff he does is just awesome work, man.
Onward and upward. Next stop is going to be Capital City Carnage coming up at the
end
of April.
Who's going to win that, Chris? No pressure.
Oh, yeah, no pressure.
Who do you predict right now?
Jimmy Johnson.
Wow, good for you. And he'll be doing that in a 76 Grand Fury?
That's because you didn't want Jimmy calling him after.
Yeah, Jimmy would have called him.
Called Chris, what are you doing?
That's exactly right. I don't know if you've ever taken a phone call from an angry Jimmy Johnson, but it's neither fast nor painless.
I've heard an angry Jimmy Johnson phone call before.
But, that's on deck next. May the 14th, happy to say that Ben and I will be making the trip out to, Ben, where are we going?
Utah.
May Mania. Going to be going out there to work on a show with Stern Dirt. It's going to be exciting. Looking forward to that. And
I got news, too, which I don't know. I think it is probably out there, but Bandout was telling me that Gumby's putting a show on out there.
Yep.
A stock show.
I've got parts and pieces of that. Okay. I haven't got everything together, but there's some very significant conversation that Jim Simcoe has decided to jump in with both feet.
Yeah, and it's when I say stock, it's stock. The way Bandall was saying, he says it's stock.
I'm here to tell you, in Utah, a stock heat is going to last 3 minutes.
That's it.
Three. That's it. Yeah. They're going to make like two laps and say go, and if it goes 3 minutes, it'll be amazing.
No, I'm pretty excited to go out there. You know,
should be a lot of fun.
It'll be fun to go out there, and that was
Ben is going to.
That's a bucket list destination that I, you know, should have went this year, but
Ben will be flying out a day early.
Check things out.
Ben's going to be flying out a day early so that he can go out there and give them all a crash course on.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if Chris relayed the message or not, but I kind of told. You know, we seen when we went to Minnesota this year, we could have upgraded to a Mercedes. But I'd like to, you know, at least upgrade to like a Hummer or a Tahoe or something.
Because we're in the desert?
It's like an F-350 or something. Something I can blend in with out there in the environment. But, you know, if we roll in a Camry like we did out there, I'm afraid it's
they're going to laugh.
It's going to turn into a beer can or something.
It's possible. You're not driving. I figured out what you're talking about. You aren't driving the rental car to the Derby. It's not happening. I don't care if they give you an F-150, if they give you Hummer. You're not wrecking the rental car.
We got an F-150. We went to Utah because we pulled up with it. It was funny. We got
yeah,
there.
Yeah, we traded keys, right?
Yeah, because some nice gentleman and his family were petrified that they would have to drive something as big as a truck. And we had a SUV of some sort. And, sir, we'll take that truck, no problem.
Yep, see.
I remember there was another gentleman who was petrified in Utah. The guy who delivered our food at the Perkins.
Oh, Perkins.
Oh yeah, that was bad.
I heard that story. Yeah. I mean, Chris, I can't hold Chris responsible. He's not the one, I guess, reserving the rental car. John's taking care of everything, so
yep.
We'll see.
He said just all you have to do is get to Salt Lake City.
So that mean I get the rental car when I get there, and then I got to come back and pick you up?
I think probably. But it's a 40-minute drive, and for somebody who drinks as much decaffeinated iced tea and sleeps 0 hours, it shouldn't be an issue for you.
Yeah, we got some early wake-up calls this weekend.
Whew. Yes. Yes, we have. Have we said it all?
I think so.
Winter Slam's in the books.
I guess. I'm kind of out of the whack right now, but that's all right.
Yeah, I'm ready for – I got home at 3, and I was up at, I think, 7 or 8, so I didn't get a whole lot of sleep. Took a little nap today, which I haven't done in years. And
I got home at 3:30. Flipped a coin. And said either stay up for an hour and go to work or say the hell with it. And I said the hell with it.
Attaboy. Attaboy, Ben.
I took Hunter had basketball practice this morning, so I took him to basketball practice and shot shit with him a little bit. And Sydney gave me the rundown from the weekend. And
nice.
That was that.
Excellent. Well, we'll do it again next week.
Absolutely.
Looking maybe forward Josh to it. Can make it up. Now that
maybe.
I think Josh is aiming to be here next week. Yeah.
That would be great.
I mean, I see him. I think Chris is back on the payments plan to get him up here. So
I got to put it out there because I got to put it out there because we've been joking. We joked at Blizzard Bash about it. We joked after Blizzard Bash about it. About Rosno, his caddy going in the dirt, and it wasn't going to go in the dirt.
Oh, yeah, we forgot.
Anybody that wants to make a bet with Shaggy, he absolutely is a man of his word.
Stand up man.
Even when we talked to him out to Minnesota, he's like, that should have went down. It was going down. It was going to go down. He just got lucky. And I'm like, Shaggy, you never know. You know, I just got one. I'm telling you right now, there's nothing you could do to one of the metric GMs to not make it go in the dirt. And but yep. Shaggy
peeled off 100. We brought it home. He paid off his bet.
Yep.
I wanted to mention that too. Great, Shaggy. Absolutely, that. Yes.
Shaggy was funny. And,
yeah, we talked to him for a minute, and then where we went.
I've had people come up and start talking to me, and you know, after 5 minutes, they introduce themselves. So just in case you don't know who I am, and I'm like, oh yeah, okay.
Eric Cotella. We had a real nice talk with Eric out there.
Now I remember. You know, I'm not. I told him. I said I've been hitting the head too much. I don't remember.
Yeah, great talk with Eric. That was fun.
But yeah, we kind of didn't make it to the after party like we wanted. But
no, we got into that heat of the room and started watching the race. And
you guys went inside, flew away to Minnesota to take a nap during a NASCAR race. You woke up and Denny Hamlin won.
Yeah, Ben was snoring first, and then I went, man, that doesn't look like a bad idea. And shortly thereafter, it was 4:30 and time to get up, and away we went.
Yep. So, next time.
Yep. Jake Sherman, hopefully everything's working out for him. Jake had some frozen pipes. Daniel Ort had some frozen pipes, too, so hopefully everything's going smooth for those guys. That is going to do it for this edition of The Crash Course, episode number 119 in the books. Winter Slam, another one in the history books for those guys as well. Great job to everybody involved with that show. Looking forward to getting on the road again at Capital City Carnage. But before that, we'll be right back here next week with episode number 120. And Saturday, we'll be live from the Derby Banquet. So we look forward to seeing everybody down there. We'll catch you again soon. Thanks a lot.
The Crash Course Podcast is brought to you in part by DerbyParts.com. The 2015 Laguna Grand Slam.
Boat Lockwood Motorsports, and the 2015 Keystone National. Sciopa Racing and SciopaRacing.com. Ultimate Derby and Blizzard Bash 2015. Demo Derby Masters. Reckless Abandon Derby Apparel at RecklessAbandonGear.com. And Derby Inc. Magazine. Live it, breathe it, be it, Derby Inc. This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York.